Welcome to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders. You've done it all. You've walked the tightrope of success and accomplished so much in your career. Now what? How do you keep redefining your success and expanding your emotional well-being? Join us to hear talk on mindset, motivation, and your growth in handling the challenges you've experienced both in circumstances and with yourself as a leader. Welcome to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders with your host, Tracy Crossley.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders. And today I have with me another wonderful, accomplished female leader. Her name is Brandi Whalen. Hey, Brandi.
Hey, Tracy.
I'm so glad you're here. So let me tell you guys a little bit about Brandi, and then we'll get started with our wonderful conversation today. So Brandi asks, what connects humans? Stories. Whether you're watching a Netflix series, reading a book, listening to a podcast, or sitting with a relative, there's a common thread that draws us in, a great story. We all have a story, but have a difficult time stringing it together. Brandi Whalen, the co-founder of Kit Caster, a podcast booking agency, and resident story crafter or story craft guru. I love that, by the way.
That's fun. Some kind of like a wizard.
I know. That's exactly what I pictured you with, magic wand and, you know, the tall hat with like the stars and the moon on it. Yeah, that's exactly what I saw. So anyways, her passion is to help people quilt together patches of their personal, professional, and visionary journey to create a compelling story. I love that. And so with that, I want to, of course, go back in time where I like to start the podcast. And that is, as a little girl growing up, what did you want to be?
Yeah, I it's interesting because when you're little, you are asked by everyone, it feels like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Which seems like such a ridiculous question to ask like a seven-year-old, but it's just... It's one of those go-to questions. And I kind of always felt like I needed to have an answer, even though I don't know if I wholeheartedly ever believed in what I was saying. Like I said that I wanted to be a firefighter at one point and a marine biologist. I don't even know where that came from. I grew up in Iowa. We were not anywhere near an ocean. Truth be told, I really always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I think that just everything that I've ever done. When I was a little girl, I was 9 years old, and I started a newspaper for my class. I would interview teachers. I would have the lunch menu laid out for the week. I had like an Ask Brandi section where people could like slip notes into my locker, asking
a
question.
That.
I would answer it. Yeah, I sold the paper. So I had a couple girlfriends that we did this together, but I definitely was the one leading the charge. And so starting at a very young age, I kind of had this entrepreneurial spark that I didn't even really know what that was until I was out of college, and I could never shake that. Right. Like mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my mind was always spinning with all these ideas. Every single position that I've ever been in, I'm always thinking about how I could like create a new product or veer off a different direction. So I always gave people like a canned answer of what they wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. But deep down, I've always wanted to start my own thing and shake things up a bit.
I love that. So what did you do then? I mean, I'm assuming you weren't always in podcasting, since podcasting has not been around for, I don't even know when it started, but whatever, let's say 10 years ago. I don't know. But anyways, what did you do prior to getting into podcasting?
Yeah. So I worked in PR previously, like right before we started KitCaster. And that I kind of fell into. I have three boys. So at the time that I fell into PR, I was really kind of taken a hiatus from all things, trying to kind of figure out what my next move was. You know, I have three little boys, so taking some time to figure out what the next career step was going to be. And I was approached by a mom at my oldest son's school, because I was running this kind of PTA fundraising effort. And she was like, "What do you do for a living?" And I was like, "You know, honestly, I don't really know. I don't know yet. I don't know what I'm going to do." And she had a small PR firm, and she's like, "Well, why don't you join me?" Because the things I had done previously in all of the businesses that I've worked in involved some piece of public relations or marketing or sales. So she really helped me kind of lift me up into a PR role. And ultimately, I started my own business with her feeding me clients that perhaps weren't a fit for what the scope of what her firm would hold. So it was actually pretty incredible. She was a fantastic mentor, and that's really how I started in the space. And knowing that, again, kind of the story aspect of podcasting, and when I would include this in my traditional PR clients, include podcasting, they were so enthusiastic about going on shows and how much they loved talking about themselves, their business, their journey. So I was like, you know what, there's something here. And so from there, started KitCaster and focused just solely on podcasting.
Wow. That's pretty incredible. But I look at my own experience, like I had a PR firm and they would get me on podcasts, and I would always find that the podcast, it's more, you know, you're building a relationship while you're talking. I think, you know, something like TV, you're on for 5-10 minutes or whatever, and you're not really building anything. Or same with radio. I mean, just my own experience in that. So I could see where podcasting, it's sort of like fertilizer on the lawn. Like, it just can grow from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's interesting, the clients that I was working with, so for a lot of the other media opportunities, they had canned responses, right? Where they were just like, they knew what they were going to be asked. They had this list of things that would be their resource. But a podcast, like, you don't know where the conversation's going to go.
Right.
And you really get a good picture of who this person is. And ultimately, like, we all want to be connected. We want to buy from people and feel good about it.
Totally. So what would you say some of the challenges have been in being an entrepreneur? You know, whether it's this current business or your old PR business, like, you know, what did you find to be some of the difficulties that you've had to navigate?
I would say some of the more difficult challenges that I've encountered is being able to let things go out of my control. I want to hold everything, and that's just not realistic, especially as your business is growing, and to really trust people to lift things up and take it off your plate. That has been my greatest challenge. It's a really hard thing for me, and I think it is for a lot of people, where you hit that point where, you know, in the beginning, you're doing everything yourself, and you have to, right? Mm-hmm. And then there becomes a point where that's just not sustainable, but then it's like, it's still your baby. So trusting your baby with other people is difficult.
It's really, I think, one of the more challenging aspects of being an entrepreneur, for sure. And I think even if you're in corporate and you're running a department, you know, not to, as a manager, you don't want to take on the role of your subordinates, but oftentimes, you know, we can feel a little insecure about, is this person going to be able to do what I want them to do, right? And so how did you, like, do you have any stories around, like, anything that happened where it's like, okay, I got to let this go?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So I, you know, even when I would, so I hired my first employee, my goodness, I think I was 2 years into having my PR business. I really had just taken everything on. I would have contractors pop in, but I hired my first employee, and she came as a reference from multiple friends. So she was finishing college. She was interested in entering the world of public relations. So I met her for coffee and I was like, she's fantastic. Hired her, you know, she worked next to me every day and I just kind of slowly started to peel things off. And I had never like fully checked out on a family vacation. Like when mm-hmm. I was away with my family, I would still be checking in, making sure everything was okay. And I was like, you know, in order to really fully let somebody else step in and take responsibility, I need to take myself completely out of the equation. So we planned a family trip and I just shut it down completely. My phone, my computer, it was very wow. unnerving. But I came back and she was great. Like she was like, what's the worst thing that could happen? And I started to kind of play those scenarios out. It was almost like she was like coaching me through, you know, a therapy a session, you know, like imagine the worst possible thing. And can you handle that? If you can, then what's the big deal? So that's what I did. I just shut it all down. She handled everything. She handled everything beautifully. Were there questions when I got back? Sure. But nothing, like everything continued to move forward. People respected the fact that I had shut down and I wasn't answering. And I made it very clear to everyone that, you know, I was taking the time to be with my family and everything was going to be covered and I'd be back and able to answer questions. So it was really just taking myself out completely and realizing that like things can still move forward. And in fact, in some cases they move forward and maybe a little better. I think that's right. Another thing you learn as a leader is that when you start to let people do things, they're going to do it in a way that you would never have even thought of.
That is interesting. That is so interesting that you said that. And I'll tell you why. I think that's such a struggle for people, right? Women leaders, male leaders too, to go, okay, I'm going to leave this to you. It's going to be done, but it's going to be done in a different way. I think as a leader, you have to feel some kind of confidence or security with yourself, not to want to go in and micromanage or not to go in and say, no, 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 you need to do it this way.
Yeah, I think it's a really challenging piece of the equation, but so necessary. And when you are able to let go of things and let people make decisions, mm-hmm. it's amazing to watch people flourish. If you have a good team, they should be able to handle what they're given and handle it in a way that just knocks your socks off, right? That just, there are so many times that I'm just astonished with the problem solving and the different things that are brought to me that I never, I was like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And I would have never thought of that.
Wow. Yeah. And that says a lot for you as a leader. So, you know, as a leader, of course, I can obviously paint a beautiful picture of what's great about it. And not that I want to, you know, go, oh, these are horrible things, but you know, some of the challenges as a female leader, you know, from letting it go, but you know, when you're first starting out too, I was bootstrapping it when I first started. I don't know about you, but
yep, same. Yeah.
And so that creates certain, I want to call them limitations, even though I don't like to use the word, but it does. And mm-hmm. so what were, you know, some of the things that you were able to, you know, I don't want to say to do, but maybe to create or maybe to go in a different direction. I don't know, you know, what the beginning was like for you. So I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah. So in the beginning, we did the same thing. And I do have a co-founder as well. So, and he comes from the world of marketing and he had his own marketing firm. So we came together with this idea and he also had a podcast. So, you know, we're like, podcasting's where it's at. Let's mm-hmm. do this. I carried my PR, my Wayland Media, my PR firm, I carried that until we could I could actually draw an income from KitCaster. So I was running two businesses, which was incredibly challenging. knowing that eventually we're going to be phasing out Wayland Media. I'm going to be full-time KitKast. I mean, that was the ultimate goal, but I didn't know if that was going to happen. I mean, we basically were just throwing this out to the world, like, is this going to gain traction? Is podcasting popular enough that we're going to have enough clients that will be able to sustain us as owners and sustain our employees? So it was a juggling act for the first year, doing both businesses and trying to invest the same amount of time in both of them, not knowing if KitKaster was actually going to take off. So I needed to make sure that I wasn't letting Wayland Media just completely fall apart.
Oh my God. Did you sleep?
Barely. I barely slept. It was not a good time. It was, and it was also during, you know, it was like right when COVID hit. And so it was, everything was totally chaotic, the uncertainty. And actually, the young woman that I brought on board for Wayland Media, she ended up coming over to KitKaster. So she was, and is still with us today. So it's pretty incredible. Yeah. So I was like kind of pulling resources from my PR business. And I was like, okay, I'll just focus over here. You start lifting up KitKaster. So yeah, it was a challenging time. It was very stressful. And I was homeschooling children. It was,
oh my
gosh,
it
was chaotic. That's, it was chaotic. It was a lot. It was a lot. Yeah, I had like, yeah, there was many, lots of tears, lots of sleepless nights. Why am I doing this? Is this worth it? What am I doing? So it was rough, definitely rough for the first
year. But something kept you going, right? Like there's something, was it passion? Like what was it that kept you going?
Yeah, I mean, I think I could see, I was able to see what KitKaster could become. And when we were first working with clients, we were getting incredible feedback. I mean, there were a lot of lessons to be learned. I mean, we didn't know, this was a completely different business. We didn't really know how to manage it. We had to kind of figure out how best to hold the campaigns, what made sense in terms of deliverables. We built a whole database of podcasts based on categorical relevance. I mean, there was a huge lift that had to happen. And I think it was just seeing the potential, really. And then talking to our clients and watching them, their expression and how excited they were, that they were, that people were listening to them. And then people were calling them after they went on a podcast interview to talk about something that they mentioned during the episode. That's really what kept me going, was just what the impact that we were having for our clients and the fun that they were having. I mean, yes, it was having a tremendous business impact for them, but it also was like, out of all the things they do in their marketing toolbox, they were having fun.
That's great. That's awesome. So changing the subject a little bit, as a female leader, you know, there's a lot of bias in the world for pretty much anything and everything, right? And, you know, there's something called prescriptive bias. And prescriptive bias is, you're a woman, you should act like a woman. You know, the behavior that people expect of a female. What would you say to that in terms of your leadership style? What would you say in terms of, has that impacted you and your decisions and how you make decisions?
Well, I definitely think that I am the nurturer when it comes to our business. And, you know, it's interesting because I do look at the dynamics, and I don't think that all female leaders are like this. I guess I'd be curious, Tracy, to hear from you if this is common. But I feel like a great responsibility to take care of my team, where and beyond just like, let me help you with a client, but it's like, hey, you seem like you're having a tough day. Do you want to go for a walk? Is there something you want to talk about? I feel like there is that it's in me. I can't, like, it kind of, it frustrates me sometimes because I'm like, it's an interesting dynamic, but I am also like voluntarily taking that on. And I don't know if that is something that you've heard and witnessed with other female leaders, but that is certainly something that I have always had. And it's really hard for me to not like just have the, like, just these overwhelming feelings of like empathy and love for our team, but almost to a point where it's like, how do you create those boundaries in that container where it's not all consuming?
Right. Right. That's the thing. It would be boundaries. And I, you know, I think I've heard from a variety of female leaders, you know, I think that as much as society wants to say, this is a woman and this is how a woman acts, I think that all of us act in different ways, you know, depending on our conditioning, depending on our situation, you know, and how we see things. But I think that it's always about taking care of yourself. And I don't know that female leaders always take care of themselves. And so, you know, that would be my question to you. Like, how do you take care of yourself? Or is that an area where you're like still trying to do that?
No, it's absolutely an area that I am still continuing to figure out. In fact, today it is March 1st. Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks ago, I made an announcement to the team that I am ending my day at 2 p.m., my work day. Mm-hmm. And really just so that I can find some space and time. And I don't really know what my 2 to 5 is going to look like, but I needed some space and some forced space. And I needed to be held accountable for that. So like today, of course, I was still like messaging people at 2:11, and one of my employees was like, stop, get out of here. Like, what are you doing? We can deal with this tomorrow. And I'm like, okay. So me saying that out loud, like I've talked about it a lot where I'm like, I'm going to take an afternoon. I'm going to take Fridays. And I'm like, no, I need to tell everyone that this is my hard stop and start to take care of myself.
That's
so we'll
great.
See. We'll see how this goes. This is my first day.
Oh my gosh, that's so wild. I'm glad I asked the question on your first day. Oh my gosh. That's awesome though. That's a good idea, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm an early morning person, so I do like to get a fair amount of my tasks done in the morning. And so I don't know. I just kind of felt like this needed to happen. It's an experiment. We'll see. I'm hoping that I can have a little bit of time, maybe go for a hike.
Nice.
Maybe I'll go sit at a coffee shop and just be. I don't know.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. That's great though, because the world kind of opens up when you do that. And then the thing is though, it's, I guess, to be careful not to find yourself working. Because, oh, I couldn't think anything else to do. Maybe I could just do that now. And then, you know, it's so easy, I think, when you are a business owner to find yourself doing things where you're like, wait a minute, I thought I was going to read a book. Why am I on my computer?
100%. I was even starting to think about this morning. I was like, well, I'll do all the stuff that I need to do with the team from 9 to 2, and then I'll work on client stuff from 2 to 5 when I'm not supposed to be working.
The point exactly, right? It's like, I know.
It's so hard, but that's all I've ever done. Like my fulfillment has come from my career. Mm-hmm. So not all my fulfillment, but
right.
You know, it's yeah. Like when I have idle time, I'm doing something for the business. So it's hard to readjust that mindset.
I think that's hard. I do. I mean, I have certain times that I work and certain times that I don't. I've gotten really good about like Fridays. I don't take anything. I usually will turn it down unless it's absolutely, absolutely cannot be avoided. But I'm talking about usually it's like a podcast appearance or something like that. But other than that, I am like, oh, nope, that is just a no. And I can feel my energy go down if I decide that, oh, I'm going to do something. I just leave it open. So, and my Mondays, I like to slide into my Mondays also. You know, like these are things that took me years because I started this business working 7 days a week.
Right. Yeah. So how long did it take you to start to carve out that time and know that like Monday needs to be gradual and Fridays? No, thank you.
I got to think about the years, probably 12 years. You know, I didn't start doing it until a few years ago and I just didn't feel like I could. So, and I think a lot of us struggle with that, you know, like those kind of boundaries with work. And, you know, like even when I was in corporate, I would take work home with me. I was in management. So, you know, when you're a manager and you have people coming in your office all day long, and then it's like, well, what did I get done? Oh, I still have to get stuff done. I better take it home. Like nobody told me to do that. I just did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
I know. It really is.
Mm-hmm. So one other question I have for you is, what would you say is your greatest accomplishment as a female leader or as a leader in general?
I would say that as a leader, as a female leader, I really do think that my biggest accomplishment is building and nurturing a team. It really has been awesome to see folks just rise up to their position and own it and come in with, you know, a lot of unease, uncertainty, not really knowing, and feel empowered and be able to speak directly and say what they want. It's just, it's so cool to see that. And most of our team is, you know, they're starting in their career, or maybe they've had like one or two jobs before joining us, but that's, I would say, is the coolest and the most like the feel good from what we do.
I love that. And so, you know, before we go, I always like to ask my guests two questions. One is, of course, where can people find you if they want to continue any kind of conversation with you? And the other question is, are there any tips that you would give to other female leaders out there, you know, through your own experience and what you feel you can offer to them?
Sure. You know, I think it's especially for females, there's this whole idea of work-life balance, and it's laughable, really. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. I'm not sure who came up with that. And I felt like there was this, I had to hit that, you know, it was like such an emphasis for so long. And everyone was like, work-life balance, figure it out. And I'm like, well, I'm clearly failing because I don't know what that looks like. But I think just finding what works for you, right? Like there's so much out there. You're never going to strike that perfect balance, and that's okay. And not to stress about it. There's some days if you're, you know, if you're a mother, if you're a partner, you're a friend for a family member, and you're a business owner, or you're a leader. Like there's all these different roles you play regardless of your situation. And some days you're going to show up differently for each of those roles. And to have like this perfect harmony for all of those, it's impossible. So don't beat yourself up when you fail in one piece for a day. Mm-hmm. Recognize that. Maybe the next day, try to do something different. But it's just, you know, trying to hold yourself up to this unrealistic expectation and then beating yourself up when you don't hit it.
Yeah.
You're never going to win that.
No, I agree with you about that. I think that once you stop comparing yourself to others, you know, oh, look at they're doing it that way, I need to do it that way. Or comparing yourself in a, well, why does she or he get to do that? Why do they get to do that? And I don't get to do that. Right. I think that just creates a lot of internal strife and doesn't really solve the problem. It's just it's like a way of, I think, distracting yourself and finding another argument so you don't actually have to do something, you know, like, okay, maybe I work 80 hours a week and I go home and I work 80 hours a week and I'm burnt out, but I can't do anything about it. I just got to keep going. Like a lot of times I think, you know, people also do that because they don't want to face other things in their lives, but you know.
100%. Yes. 100%. Yeah. Yep. We're all a little guilty of that. Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah. I would say that that's like my biggest piece of advice is, you know, figure out what works for you. Know that you're not going to get it right. no such thing as this perfect balance. Mm-hmm. But each day could look a little different, and that's okay.
I love that. And so if anybody listening wanted to, you know, have a conversation with you or reach out to you for any reason, where can they find you?
Yes. So they can find me at LinkedIn, mm-hmm. Brandi Whalen, and you can email me brandi@kitcaster.com. I'm available to chat. I love talking to really anyone, helping with anything or just meeting. It's all great for me.
Awesome. I love that, Brandi. You are such a wonderful and special leader. So really the nurturing and everything, it just comes out in how warm you are. So thank you. And thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, this is an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And thank you, audience, for tuning in. And I hope you've enjoyed our conversation today. And you know where to find Brandi. You know where to find me. And if you have any ideas for topics, too, please send them my way. And other than that, I will see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining today. For more information on Tracy and her programs and to set up a discovery session, email business@tracycrossley.com. That's business@tracycrossley.com, and go to tracycrossley.com to get your free download entitled Stop Your Inner Dictator. Thank you for tuning in to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders.